Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, members of the Community Catholic Church clergy gather to worship, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition, and you can join in by clicking on the links that you see on the show page below. And now, let's celebrate our wonderful connection with Creator and prepare our hearts for worship. Good morning and welcome to our service on this Trinity Sunday. Today participating in our service, we have Rev Jan, we have Dean Sam, we have the Reverend Chris, and the Reverend Anita. We begin the gathering of the community. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for Trinity Sunday. Father, we praise you through your word and Holy Spirit. You created all things. You reveal your salvation in all the world by sending to us Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Through your Holy Spirit, you give us a share in your life and love. Fill us with the vision of your glory, that we may always serve and praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless, void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning, second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit and the seed in it. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome to the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swam, and swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. Was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. There are generations of the heavens and the earth when they are created. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, that you are mindful of them, mortals, that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than God, crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your land. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the bird of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Unfortunately, Bishop Jean is under the weather today. She's been affected by a terrible cold, which many of us have been experiencing. She's asked me to deliver her homily, and we send prayers for a speedy recovery for her. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Last Sunday, there was no worship service because it was the occasion of the ordination of priests and deacons in the Community Catholic Church of Canada. For that reason, this homily will backtrack a bit before touching on today's Gospel, the Gospel for Trinity Sunday. The last Sundays of Easter focused on the farewell discourse of Christ, ending with his ascension into heaven and his direction to the apostles to wait for the coming of the Advocate. Now, Christ had left them before when he died on the cross, that Good Friday. They hid then, sad and confused, fearing for their lives. This time, however, after those precious days with Jesus after the resurrection, it's different. Instead of confusion, their faith has grown. Their sadness has been turned to joy and wonderment. They know that, even if they aren't sure just what to expect, Jesus is not leaving them alone, but sending another advocate. With this assurance, they return to Jerusalem to wait. I imagine the disciples didn't enjoy waiting any more than you or I do. But because of Jesus' promise, the wait between ascension and Pentecost wasn't wasted time. It wasn't useless or fruitless or barren time. Instead of simply waiting, the disciples are being prepared. So that sacred time was filled with promise and hope. The disciples knew that there was a purpose to their waiting, because in the fullness of time, their waiting would be over and they would have the Advocate to be with them forever, to teach and to guide them. They were being made ready. They prayed and they waited for 9 days after the ascension, and on the 10th day, their hope, their trust in the promise of Jesus was fulfilled. God poured out his Holy Spirit upon them in tongues of fire. Those 9 days of waiting prayerfully became what Catholics know as a novena, 9 days of prayer offered to God with trust that our prayer will be answered after that 9th day, just as the disciples' prayer was. Those prayers, faithfully said day after day, remind us that God hasn't left us, but is always at our side. Those days of faithful prayer demonstrate our reliance on God, our trust that we will receive the healing and the comfort that we need. So the disciples obeyed Jesus, remaining in the upper room until the Holy Spirit descended to them. Like the disciples, we too wait in hope, a hope that is expressed in our prayer as much as it is nourished and fed by our prayer. Prayer transforms our longings and wishes into a sure and steady hope that allows us to trust Christ's promise. Hope allows us to rely on Him, to rely on the Holy Spirit that upholds us. This transformation is not the work of 9 days, but of a lifetime. Each struggle we face is a fresh opportunity to deepen our prayer, to strengthen our hope, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit who reveals God working in us through the circumstances of our life for good. And when we do, when we turn to God and trust, even though our trials tempt us to turn away, God will not fail us. God will not disappoint us, but pour out His grace on us, carrying us through every struggle to greater peace and fulfillment. So, our Gospel readings have taken us through the somber Lenten season to the joy of Easter, to the glory of the Ascension, and finally, to the power of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. One might think that's a pretty hard act to follow. What now? What could possibly follow but the fullness and majesty of Almighty God? And so today, we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, the Triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, three distinct persons in one God. Bishop Jean writes. It's a confusing idea for theologians, let alone ordinary folks like me. I was taught that it is a mystery of faith, a mystery being any teaching that defied human explanation. The good sisters at my school, though, brought in pictures of St. Patrick and the shamrock, one leaf with three distinct lobes. There, we were told, just like the Trinity. And that was that. We may never understand the structure of the Trinity, how the persons of the Godhead relate to each other in the whole, but we've grown comfortable with the persons of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We sing about them, we pray to them, we celebrate feasts dedicated to them, and we baptize in their name. It is Jesus who taught us to do so, as we read in today's Gospel, the final verses of the Gospel of Matthew. Those few verses are known as the Great Commission. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." That is the Great Commission, the task that Jesus entrusted to the disciples. With a commission comes not only a task, but the authority to act as an agent or representative of another. So these words of Christ describe the task he sets out for the disciples. Jesus can command or commission them in this great work because he has all authority. Because he does, he can give them authority to make followers of disciples of all the nations, to baptize them, and to teach them as his agent, in his place, on his behalf. That's what it means to be commissioned. So how did the disciples come to be commissioned in this way? They went to the place where Jesus had directed them to go, and when they did, they saw him there, and they worshipped him. We're told that some doubted, but since they obeyed Jesus, they were not left out. It's a tall order to gain followers, to baptize them, to teach them to obey Jesus' commandments, and the disciples must have been a bit thunderstruck by the magnitude of the job Jesus was giving them. But he assures them, "Remember, I am with you always." We know what happened afterward, how the disciples and apostles did just as Jesus instructed them, growing the church from that tiny seed into the massive tree Christianity is today. What a tremendous task, but it isn't completed yet. That's our job, because we share in that commissioning. Our work is to make disciples, if not of all nations, of the territory that's ours, our life, with all the people whose path crosses ours, even if only for a day. We make disciples by acting as Christ's agent, by using our words and actions to show his love, his compassion, his forgiveness to others. There are a lot of hungry souls out there, people who don't know that what they need is God. So they spin and spin, trying a million other ways to fill the empty spot in their life, in their heart. When we let our words reflect Christ's and let our actions mirror his generosity and welcome, we make disciples. When we obey Jesus' commandments to love our enemy, to do good to those who hurt us, to feed the hungry, to tend the sick, and refrain from judgment, all that, we teach others to do likewise. We teach them to be followers of Christ when we follow Christ. Like the disciples, we may be a bit bowled over by the magnitude of the task. How can we mirror Christ when we fall so easily into anger, unforgiveness, judgment? Times are hard, and the need is so great. How can we help others when our own resources are already stretched and fraying? Well, we can't. Not on our own power. But we have prayer that transforms our struggles into experiences of faith and hope. We have God who forgives us and remembers our sin no more. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us on our path, and we have Jesus, the Lord, who is with us always. We have everything we need
to bring the good news of Christ to everyone we meet. The more fully we strive to do just that by sharing His love with others, the more completely we, our lives, and our world are transformed into the reflections of the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us pray with confidence to the Lord, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. O Lord, guard church in the way of unity, service, and praise.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Give to all nations an awareness of the unity of the human family.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Cleanse our hearts of prejudice and selfishness, and inspire us to hunger and thirst for what is right.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Teach us to use your creation for your greater praise, that all may share the good things you provide.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Strengthen all who give their energy or skill for the healing of those who are sick in body or in mind.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Set free all who are bound by fear and despair.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Grant a peaceful end and eternal rest to all who are dying, and your comfort to those who mourn.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. By spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered. Bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God and give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of the day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ, reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all our brother and sisters and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, be with us all this day and forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks for joining us today for this time of worship. Special thanks to our clergy who participated. Last Sunday, we had a wonderful celebration of ministry as 11 people were ordained into our church. And we congratulate the Reverends Christine Antle, Katrina Bremner, Jeanette Honig, Karen Mitchell, Lori Skolaski, Patricia Shedden, and Denise Waldron, who were ordained to the Sacred Order of Deacons. And congratulations to the Reverends Marie-Louise Bechtold, Karen Pitt, Jerry Walsh, and Janet Warren, all who were ordained to the Sacred Order of Priests. We are so proud of them all. They are wonderful people. God is truly blessing our little church. We invite those who have ever thought about being ordained to visit the seminary page, the seminary website, and to find out more about our church. There are courses beginning at the end of June and also in November. Please visit stfrancisseminary.com to find out more information. And for those in Ontario who may not want to be ordained but might like to look into our chaplaincy program, where you can also officiate at weddings, check out the website, again, stfrancisseminary.com. We do have a course online coming up at the end of the month, June 26th and 27th. And also we have an on-site here in Niagara-on-the-Lake on July 9th, which is an intensive training. You're given everything you need and all the support along the way. Please do check out the details on our website. We pray for Archbishop Pat, who has been traveling to Ireland, and we remember her in our prayers this week. And we also remember all who are experiencing any health issues. If you have any prayer requests, please do send them along to us. We pray daily for our people in our church, in our congregations, in our audience. Just send them along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. On behalf of the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada, I bless you in the name of our Lord. Have a great week. Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.